Alright, there's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
You make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Beatles.
Of course, yeah. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Get it up.
One of those covers of the Video Store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep, what in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
A bunch of people are sitting out on a curb. Guy coughs, spits into the puddle on the street. All of a sudden a car comes by, splashes the puddle onto all the passengers. Cuts to the word coronavirus.
So it's been a month of being locked in. If no one had told me, hey, there's a global pandemic right now, I would have probably not known for the first couple weeks.
The state shut down everything with any public venues. I'm unfortunately considered essential, so I'm out in the world every day and trying my best not to kill my family.
How are you guys doing with this amazing global situation we find ourselves in? Happy quarantine! Hi, I'm Dave the Clone from Hollow Knight Network, and I've got a whole slew of new friends joining me today for a new episode of our... Usually it's What Am I Watching, but this is just sort of the relaunch show of Hollow Knight, but we are talking about watching movies. But why don't we go around the table and introduce ourselves? I'll introduce Ian first, because he was here last time, and Ian can introduce our new friends, and then we'll all be old friends by the time this show is over. So, Ian, how are you doing, man?
I'm good, everybody. It's Professor Klink on lockdown with all of my lesson plans now for the day four of quarantine, I think is what we're on.
It's pretty surreal. I haven't been keeping count. Now that you say that out loud, it's like, holy shit, I'm like really freaked out now.
Yeah, but we are being joined today by two amazing people, Courtney and Noah, great friends from the past who, when I was actually working at my college that I was working at, Savannah College of Art and Design, these two came into my film, not film class, but a film lecture series that I did on the side that we called the B-Movie Club. And
nice, I like
these
it.
These are two OG members from that. So,
yep.
So please introduce yourselves.
Yeah, I'm Courtney Cheshire, like the cat from Alice in Wonderland. Yeah, and I met Ian, what is it, like 4 years? It's 4 years? A little over 4 years now, isn't it?
Oh, God, yeah.
Which
wow,
is crazy.
Wow. Wow,
and yeah, as Ian said, I went to SCAD and I was a graphic design major and I skipped right into more higher ed and now I work for Georgia Southern University in marketing and design, so stayed in Georgia, and I'm also in lockdown quarantine right now, but still working.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all? And who's with you over there?
I'm Noah Cutter-Meyhoff. I'm a freelance illustrator. I also went to school with Courtney. Well, obviously that's how we met. And I met Ian just after... just after Courtney had, because she went to the first, I believe, what was the first one you went to? The movie club.
It was Duel. I went with
yes.
Sydney, my roommate.
Yeah. And then, you know, after that, it was like, I think it was, yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And they, you know, I heard someone was showing Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and then, I went to go, because she dragged me along. I mean, I wanted to go, obviously. No, there's no dragging. No. There's never been any dragging involved here.
There is the magic of editing right now. I'll just say, we'll flag little moments. You just have to come up with a signal. And when you kind of go like this, that like lets me know, all right, we're going to have to revisit that in the review before we post. All right. I don't know if we're going to have we don't want the domestic disputes to go out, but it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I promise, guys, it'll be fun.
Right. And that's how the three of us finally became all acquainted. Now I work from home all the time, but who knows what this is going to do to my clientele. Typically every month after I cast out a net, I hear back from several people. This time I heard back from one. So God only knows.
Yeah, it's like we're living through a movie plot, and we're going to talk about some movie
plots.
It is.
It feels like we're suspended.
Yeah.
You know? There's some sort of... We're all floating in limbo.
I read an article today. 892,000 artists are going to be impacted by what's going on right now. If you think about that, you know, we've already seen it. I mean, how many movies are being postponed? And
oh, yeah.
Bond and you know, big one was actually
Black Widow too. And Black Widow, Marvel.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, then all these movies are going to be pushed down the pipeline, and unfortunately, we don't know when. You know, I mean, we're all facing it. We're all dealing with it. But I think it's interesting, though, to think, you know, and I don't know how you all feel, but to me, it feels some days it's like, oh, this is just normal. Okay, yeah, I have to stay inside. And then a few minutes later, I go, is this real?
Yeah, oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Are we really doing this?
Yeah, I mean...
There's about one moment at every day where I get that feeling. You know, I'm kind of just going about my business because, again, like I said, it doesn't affect my routine daily, but then there's this kind of overarching impact that hits me at some random point in the day when I'm not even thinking about it. And then it's like, what's going on?
And the fact that it keeps changing every day too, like all the information we get is different all the time. I mean, I remember the first time I heard that they were closing down the schools, it was my girlfriend's teenage son was like, oh my God, we're out of school till like mid-April. And I'm like, get the hell out of here, really? You know, like, hold on a second. Like, I'm sure that sounds amazing to you, but my first thought was, are you still going to go to the next grade at the end of this year? How are they going to handle this huge gap that shows up now in attendance? And I don't know how it is all across the country, but there's a website for where we're at in Virginia now where they have all this online work that's going to start happening through a web portal, I think, next week. But there's a caveat that it doesn't count. It's not going to be graded. And I was like, what? Why? Why is the? What's the point of doing this? Yeah. What's the point? Why are we
They're
even
not
having?
Do it.
I was like, guys, they're on vacation. This is like a winter vacation in the middle of spring here. But hey, you know, I guess we'll just see what happens. But it does have that, you know, first act of a horror film kind of feel going on. You know, the fact that there are shelves that are empty, I'm like, oh, this is the day before Walking Dead happened right here. This is, you know, and it immediately started making me think, well, at least we can do our part as independent media and, you know, and a type of entertainment, I guess. And we could come up with some lists from people who have an aficionado level of movie appreciation of the kind of movies that might be great to watch while you're stuck on lockdown in a situation like this and make you reflect on some of the things that could be going on outside your window so you might have a better idea of how to respond appropriately when the zombies get here or the aliens arrive or whatever is coming next. But I just want to throw that out there and see what you guys thought.
I met a thing the other day. I actually was walking and I ended up playing that song, you know, The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore, you know, that they did in the trailer for The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And nobody's around. I'm looking around going, I shouldn't be listening to this.
This is that moment that Noah was just talking about. I walked into that moment on my own. I gave myself the soundtrack to it. But is there anything that can, and I don't know if we necessarily need to keep it to movies that are about being isolated or on quarantine, but those are the first ones that probably come to mind. So, but anything that would be good to watch while you're on isolation or any good movies about isolation, what do you guys think? Anyone have anything that jumps to mind right away?
I'm going to say,
ooh, duke it out.
I'm going to cut everyone off first. And I'm going to say, you know, like, maybe just don't watch Contagion. Like, don't watch Contagion. Everyone's watching Contagion right now. And
it's trending on Netflix.
Everyone overreact, and everyone is going to keep, they're going to get this idea in their mind that this is going to kill everyone. And I think that adds to the insanity of it. You know what I mean? Because there's a way to have fun with movies like that and reflect, but then it's like, you know, you might not take it seriously while you're watching it, but you're going to start thinking about that over the next few days, and it's going to be a parasite that just feeds on you.
Parasite might be a good one to watch instead, actually, a recent Academy Award winner.
I think that's a much better movie to watch.
Right? We're going
to
do...
wacky all the... Have you seen all the celebrity responses? Like, I know today the big thing I've seen going around is that Gal Gadot... and like 10 other celebrities saying Imagine, and it was like a super cut of all of them saying Imagine, and it just came, it comes across as like so tone deaf and like just stop. Just
yeah,
stop.
I heard someone say they should cover Working Class Hero next.
There you go. It's us little people. We don't understand what's happening, man. We still are taking the messages from the machine. I'm sorry, Ian, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You're talking about the 83 Demi Moore Parasite, right? That's the one you're talking about.
Sure. Recent Academy Award recap.
Yeah. You know, but it's interesting with some of the movies. To me, Contagion, I actually put this in front of my class. You know, this movie, all of a sudden, about 1 or 2 weeks ago, all of a sudden, magically popped onto streaming. Now, I'm not saying it's a conspiracy theory.
Oh, we gotta go there. We gotta go there. Predictive programming?
Interesting of the... And I proposed this question to my class, because I'm a high school teacher, and you know, we're having to do it. We're having to put everything online. And so, you know... I actually took an article that talked about Contagion, and I presented it to my students saying, should the filmmakers, who are now going to get residuals from all of these viewings, from how, you know, the contracts work now with streaming and them getting kind of up to date, you know, they're going to make some money off of the fact that so many people watch this movie. And, you know, I proposed the question in my class, is there the moral issue within that? You know, should Steven Soderbergh cashed a check that's going to come in about 6 months that he gets from, you know, this of a movie that, to be honest, disappeared.
I mean, yeah. You know, Contagion,
it was good. We all enjoyed it, but it was one of those came and went and nobody even.
Because, you know why? Because that could never happen here, man. That would never be where we would find ourselves. That was like a totally, I'm not buying into this bullshit. We saw Ebola. They saw that movie Outbreak. It never happened. We kind of avoided catastrophe. I'm not getting to pull down that road again. But now, you know, I mean, there is sort of, it's interesting that there's like kind of question of ethics, right? It's the ethics of entertainment. Whereas used to be, I think we were all safe in that, oh, this shit will never happen. Alien, who knows? But now I'm like, fuck it. We've got the things that we never thought would happen have been happening for the last like 8 years now, or 5 years, at the very least. So it's sort of like, bring on the aliens, man. Bring on the zombies. Yeah. Let's do this.
Well, it's so, at the same time, it's horrifying. And, you know, it's affecting so many people in so many negative ways. You know, people are out of work, all that stuff. But then it just, it brings you to realize that all of a sudden, this is something that's bigger than all of us.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is so cool, which at the same time makes me want to watch, I don't know, movies, you know, even like kaiju movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It makes me, I was thinking
of
King Godzilla the other day.
Dude.
Because, yeah.
Awesome.
Because it's this concept of not just isolation, but that there's something all of a sudden that is way bigger than all of us.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
at the same time, it gives you a kind of strange, it's a fear, but it's also a peace in a way.
There's a release.
Gosh, you know.
I don't have to give a shit about it anymore.
Yeah, I don't have to give a shit in the first place.
Social Security can suck it. It doesn't matter. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Why did I pay off my credit cards? This is bullshit. But, yeah, it's like that's the fun.
Nothing matters. Everything's just on top of our mere existence.
I don't know if you think making me repeat myself is going to somehow make the story change, or if you just don't want to hear what it is I actually have to say, but again, we changed course based on orders received on the flash ban from company headquarters.
Code Gold, Command Eyes Only. Standard operating procedure, as I know you are aware. Search and Rescue would rarely venture into an unregulated area without more concrete proof of life. We sure found something out there, all right.
When you watch it as a little kid, you know, it's a monster movie. It's creepy. But then there's all the weird artificial intelligence stuff. There's the, like, rapey nature of the facehuggers and all that.
Why don't you stick your face in the egg, dude? Is there an egg opening in front of you? Stick your face in there and see what happens.
When I fall asleep at night, I have this irrational fear that something is going to crawl inside and, like, lay eggs inside of me. I'm actually wondering, now that we're talking about this, if this might have been the impetus for that.
You know, Star Wars comes out, and they go, what other movies do we have set in space? Boom, Alien gets green light the next day.
Very similar to just even how our government is in preparation for something where they didn't know exactly what was in store, like specifically the xenomorphs.
Bodily fluids, and it's not just blood, there's a lot of like grease, and there's a lot of sweat. And it wasn't the blood that got me, it was the sheer amount of sweat.
We're on a mission to bring back knowledge of the xenomorph. The end of all mankind, all wrapped up in a boat, just waiting for us to come along. You're gonna find yourself staring down the barrel of a living, breathing devil in the flesh that bleeds acid and lives to kill us. And that's the fun part of, like, that's what these things used to be. Like, the movies used to be the escape where we could explore. What the hell? I mean, it's one of the reasons my girlfriend and I are rewatching the entire Alien franchise, because we're going to do this Alien Invasion, which, who knows, parts of this conversation could wind up in that sort of, we're going to binge all the core films. Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, Alien Resurrection, Prometheus, and Alien Covenant. Oh, wow. And it's like there's elements in there of shit, where was I going with this? The sort of why it's drawing me in now is because I feel like if this were to really happen, I almost feel like what the first movie is like the security footage of how it would really go down. Like, I feel like that's how people would react. There's like someone's gonna break a quarantine protocol just because human. Like, I'm letting them in. They don't give a shit. When it's them on the outside, they want to come back in. I'm not supposed to let you in. And here we are, where people are stabbing each other over toilet paper, not realizing we're just going around infecting each other. And it's sort of like we're kind of mirroring all these things. Anyway, go ahead. I love that.
First day of this quarantine, University of Delaware, they canceled all classes, said students go home because we don't want to have big crowds. What happens? Biggest crowd you ever saw in the quad of all the kids getting together and hugging and dancing and partying and all this stuff. And the whole time you're going, what did they tell you to do?
Because we passed on, man. We passed on that false sense of security that, oh, whatever, that's just hype. It's just fake news. It's the media. We, you know, I don't know anybody who's sick, so whatever, man, let's throw the biggest party on earth. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, now you're the sick one. Like, congratulations.
Yeah, you're going to go home to grandma and kill grandma.
Ooh,
see. First case in Delaware, all of a sudden. Boom, everybody shuts their door, locks
it. I mean, Disney World is shut down right now for the rest of the month of March, and I imagine it could go beyond. And I'm only saying that because I have a vested interest in how long it lasts, because I just booked a trip for May. So I'm like, fuck, that really sucks. That's an expensive trip. But I bought the insurance for the first time ever, so I'll move it to wherever it needs to go. It was one of those, we're changing gears in life, and I want to go on vacation before I really dive in. And
you know what I think about, thinking about all the business end of all this stuff and where it's getting impacted. You know, you bring up Alien. I'll be honest. Sometimes I watch Alien. The biggest thing I take from that sometimes is the corporate stuff.
Mm.
You know, the Weyland. I can't think of
Weyland Yutani.
Yeah, you know, and just how, you know. Why do they have to land on this planet? Because the company says to do it. And, you know, with all of this stuff, you know, I was talking about, you know, just a little bit ago with all the company and paying the money and all this stuff. You know, I think back to that amazing scene from Dawn of the Dead, George Romero's the 78 version, when the gang in the, you know, gets inside the mall and, you know, they're just, it's locked down, they've got it all cleared up, and they're just going day by day by day. And they go to the bank, and they just take all the money out of the registers for, you know, and they don't even know why they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, they're just, hey, why not? Get the money.
It's a held-over instinct from the last, from what life used to be like.
Where's the money for who?
Yeah.
You know, my favorite thing I've ever seen on Facebook that somebody's ever posted, you know, we're $7 trillion in debt in this world. To who?
Yeah. I feel like that's a debt that would have been collected if it was to one person, right? Like, if it was to, like, the head of the Corleone family, like, all of us would have been shot on the causeway by now. Yeah. It's just one of those things. And that's, there was an interesting article I saw that said, like, you know, some of the things that we've already seen as responses kind of show how a lot of what we do is just sort of hinging on this. Oh, that's just how it is. You know, like if you guys can suspend us needing to pay for stuff like water and power, but you're leaving it on. Okay, let's talk about why we're paying quite as much as we are out here, okay? Because obviously it's possible if we all get past that. And so, you know, this is getting probably a little too deep into the political weeds possibly than I was thinking. It's just, it's
hard not to with something like this.
It's amazing that after having decades of movies that are all about stuff like this and all of us watching them going like, well, I know I wouldn't be that crazy guy stabbing people over toilet paper. I'm sure the guy who stabbed someone over toilet paper had that thought at one point. And here we are going, we had these models and we just didn't even pay attention, you know? So does that mean Terminator is next? Is that where AI is going to take us? I mean, that's another thing that Alien kind of deals with a lot, especially in the newer films about the danger of AI. And replicating the creating in your own image kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. I've always said, you know, we're fine until, you know, it's us. You know, yeah. I keep going back to this idea that, you know, and we've all probably felt it, where somebody's like, oh, those rich snobs, those rich people, oh, tax them this, and that. You know, you can say that when you're the one that doesn't have, any of the money.
Oh, yeah.
What if you actually are in the shoes of the person who does have it?
Mm.
You know, what if you are the one who has four things of toilet paper and somebody reaches over to grab it? You know, it's like you said, we want to say we won't do it. We want to say we won't be that guy.
Yeah.
But you're right. We've gone through this over and over again. And to be honest, the movie that really, I think, highlights that, I'll be honest with you, and I think we've all seen it, Cabin Fever.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Wait, the first one or the second one? It's exactly the same as the first one, but with different people. Dude, that movie disturbed the hell out of me when I saw it. And I like went into work the next day going like, I got to talk to you about this. Can I tell you about this movie I watched where this dog was literally eating this chick who was still alive but dying? And they were like, dude, no, I don't want to hear about this shit. I just do your job. And I'm like, okay.
What I like about Cabin Fever is it points out these are just five people. You know, friends who, you know, love each other, have great, you know, Eli Roth sets it up perfectly that they all get along, they all like each other, even though they have a little bit of myth with each other, like normal, but they're secluded in the middle of nowhere, all by themselves, and this horrible thing hits them, and they all lose it.
Yeah, except they're in the middle of nowhere, and we're in the middle of everywhere.
Yeah. It's actually the more populated the place, the more dangerous, right? Isn't that kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and the funny part is, Cabin Fever, I'll tell you this story. First year of college, you know, 18 years old. I think I came out in 2003. That's when I went to college. And first week, I'm in the dorms, the first time ever where... And I think we all experienced this. We've all experienced it. That first time where you go from your bedroom in your safe space to living with a bunch of people. And I'll tell you, the first thing that gets everybody, and I was a res instructor for a lot of years after, the first thing that always gets people, sharing the toilet.
Having conversations with strangers on the toilet next to you while you're both using it. Like, what the hell is this?
You want to talk about soaping something down. I've seen people basically burn that seat before they sit down on it. But first week I'm in college, experiencing all of this, really not liking the sharing experience, I decide, I gotta get out of here, I gotta go see a movie. I go see Cabin Fever.
Yeah.
Did wonders.
Yeah, I was done. I was like, you know what, forget it.
That was when I knew Eli Roth was somebody to keep an eye on. Like, oh, all right, man, you just did that to us. Pancakes it is. Let's go.
Yeah. I've never seen Cabin Fever.
You've never seen it?
I'm too, like, Eli Roth gets me a little. It's a little, he's like, it takes a lot to phase me, but there's something about...
It's just that little extra bit of excess, you know?
Yeah, so I've never been brave enough. I know the deal. You're not spoiling anything for me.
What
yeah.
about, don't worry about
that. But it just, it ekes me out. I don't know.
Well, okay, wow.
What's it like for girls in the dorm experience?
Speaking of getting eaten by a dog, that's hilarious that you decided that it eats me. I'm like, well, that's exactly what the film has happened. So you're in good company. You got the genre right.
I mean, obviously, you know, Ian, the SCAD experience is a little different because essentially the dorms were old hotels.
That's true, yeah.
So it was like the old Howard Johnson's, my freshman year dorm, and I only had one roommate, and we got our own bathroom. So that, you know, it's like the ideal situation. I'm just sharing it with one person. But, you know, it's definitely, I think girls are a little more open to each other's grossness because of just like,
they have more of it than we do.
And stuff
yeah.
like that. And just the barrier isn't, like, the societal barrier isn't as strong there.
There's actually, like, you guys have that bond in being able to get each other's back in those types of
yeah,
rough times.
Exactly,
whereas,
exactly.
like, dudes
Meanwhile,
are more notorious to be like, dude, deal with your shit and get away from me, man.
Yeah,
I don't want
to
hear
you
it.
Go to,
play
you
a golden
go to a
eye
movie
or don't,
theater.
But get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you go to a movie theater and guys are sitting two seats apart.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Do you guys not, are you guys worried that, you know, you don't want to look gay or something?
That's hilarious.
Like, I don't understand, you know? It's
You know the rule, though, the urinal rule.
Okay.
The middle. Don't be that guy.
Well, nah. Yeah,
it's
well,
not tic-tac-toe.
I'm extremely pee shy in the first place, though, so I tend to go to the stall to make sure I have that extra bit of security, but once I think of an airplane taking off, I'm fine.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing, too. I mean, like, that movie really, he covered a lot of the stuff I think people right now are fearing about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hardest scene for me, and I always go back to it, is that scene in the movie where, you know, they all know they're contaminated. They all know they have the whatever the sickness is that's happening. And those two decide, you know what? It's the end of the world for us. Let's make love. Let's have this moment. They just go for it. And they're literally killing
each other. Oh, God.
Yeah.
They're ripping off each other's skin. And you're like, and you have to think about it. Eli Roth is a genius because we're all watching it being disgusted, but it's planting that seed in our head.
Well, he also dropped that little foreshadow in the beginning when the dude kind of slips into the bed with Jordan Ladd and he's got his hand under the covers and we think one thing's happening and then it turns out one of the greatest Hollywood makeup jobs of all time is going on under that blanket. And I was like, I might throw up right now. And this is like 20 minutes into the movie. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my God, what have we gotten ourselves into? And the crowd I went with, there was no way we were leaving early. So I was like, I'm in this for the duration. Whatever this is going to be,
yeah.
I'm here. This is going to happen.
Yeah, and it worked. I mean, it really got, you know, for me as that 18-year-old college kid going back to the dorms after watching that movie, I mean, I distinctly remember going to the fountain and just watching me pouring water into a cup going, who was here before me?
And where is this water coming from?
Where is it coming from? What happened? Then, get this is the best part. About 2 months later, this was in Aurora, Illinois, and the city actually had this, I guess the word is geese, but it had this geese issue.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of geese. And the pipes were so old that around this pond that a lot of the geese, you know, gathered around, the pipes fell through. The rust fell through, and geese crap got into the water.
Oh.
We were without water for
weeks.
Whoa. Wow, modern times go away quick, man. Modern times just disappear.
And of course, we're getting like this stuff of like, well, don't drink the water, don't shower in it.
Duh.
Well, just wait for the next 24 hours. See if you're okay.
If you start exhibiting symptoms, here is how to commit Harry Carey.
Yeah, well, now it's okay to drink. You know, it's okay to shower in it. Just don't let it get into your mouth.
Oy. Yeah. Sort of the pull-out method of contamination. We're sort of hoping on a wing and a prayer that we're containing this by just pretending it's not that bad, you know.
I mean. So kudos to Eli Roth.
Yeah,
I think of all the movies that I think show the fear factor of this, that's one of them. Cabin Fever really does.
Yeah,
and I think it's because he starts at the beginning.
Yeah.
A couple of people in the middle of nowhere. What do you do?
I kind of like Danny Boyle's 28 Days Later, the way that opens, for the same reason. Mm-hmm. Especially one of the characters that we only get to hang out with for like 5 seconds before he winds up getting killed. And he's kind of giving us this recount of what it was like at the time we're sort of at now, where people might start getting a little on the crazy side, might start bum rushing like train stations and airports to try to get out of there. And he talked about the devaluing of money, like right away, you know, like we're trying to hand out piles of cash thinking we're going to be able to get on a boat or a plane. And by that time it didn't matter. And he's talking about like losing his sister to a crowd of like people that wound up like trampling her to death. And then like a second later he gets killed. So just as you're starting to feel like, oh wow, man, I've got this whole connection now with this character that I'm commiserating with, within the first couple minutes he's gonna guide our other character that woke up from a coma 28 days into this thing, and it's like, nope, he just got a little nick on his arm and we didn't even wait to see if the contamination got him. It's just chop that guy up now. We're not even waiting because we know he's probably infected. And yeah, that's the part I'm scared of with all of this. Like, it's fun to talk about all this stuff, and I'm not going to stop us from talking about it. But when you start to kind of look at that and go, wow, have I had conversations that are starting to sound like that with some people? And, like, mm-hmm. I've definitely seen some Facebook posts of people's experiences that have been pretty crazy. Like, definitely people have witnessed people getting stabbed over toilet paper and things like that. And so it's kind of very disappointing that we went there this quickly without even like a major event, like a terrorist attack or the zombies rising or a kaiju standing up out of the ocean.
And yet I also think it's interesting for how many people this has been impacting. I actually think it kind of went smoother than what I think the movies told us it was going to be. I don't know what your all thoughts are on that, but just from my perspective here in Delaware, we all went, okay, everybody stay home, we do this, okay, all the teachers go online, we do, okay, the infrastructure's there. Unfortunately, you know, Taco Bell inside's closed, but here you can still have your tacos from the window.
DoorDash.
I expected the kind of you know, the panic, the people with the shotguns in the streets.
I will say, driving back from the grocery store, there was a guy walking through our neighborhood who had his gun out on his hip. And he noticed, my girlfriend noticed it and put his t-shirt over it, which made me even more freaked out. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah. It's one thing if it's just like a normal gun guy. You know what I mean? You know how those people
incel
can be,
dude, but I gotcha. You stay over there. I'll stay over here. I'll come to you if we need help. But
that's just old Brad.
I'll say here, it's interesting because not everything is closed yet. Like, restaurants are still open for dine-in and everything. And I think a certain level of that was getting through St. Patrick's Day, because that's Savannah's big money-making thing. But I was shocked to see it was empty. There was like drone footage of River Street, which is like the craziest party area on St. Patrick's Day, and it was empty. And that was like the scariest thing, kind of, because it was like, oh my God, you know it's real. Like, there aren't a bunch of drunk people on River Street.
But at the same time, it was kind of nice because you saw it, and it's like, wow, you know, I actually, my faith in everyone was so low that I thought people were just going to say, ah, fuck it, you know, like, we're, you know, nothing's going to stop us from getting sloshed on St. Patrick's Day and going to all these bars. And then you see, like, wow, I mean, it might just be out of fear, but all these people had the respect to not come at the same time. And you know, sometimes you just have to try and look at it from that side to keep you going, you know?
And on top of that, these days, it's funny. When I was grinding it every day going to work, it was sort of like, holy shit, I just want to stay in one day. And now that it's like you're told you have to stay in, it's like, so I can't go out? What the fuck is that about? But you know what? I have all these like game consoles and streaming services. I literally have, I can find any piece of entertainment I can think of. And if it's not free, I can pay a couple dollars to rent it or watch it for 48 hours. It's almost eerie that it was so smooth and that the infrastructure was also there to keep us entertained so that it could avoid this whole, you know, what are you going to do? Well, if there's nothing to do, I mean, what did they used to say about people out in the country? They're all out there drinking and shooting their guns at whatever's moving. You know what I mean? It's like, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to shoot my virtual gun at some guys in Call of Duty, and then maybe I'll be Spider-Man for a little while, and then I'll watch an entire season of Westworld to get ready for the new season that just started. You know, it's like, it is, it's, I can't tell if I should be kind of impressed or even more freaked out that it's this easy, because...
Well, think about this, though. I mean, everybody keeps pointing out to the, you know, the flu epidemic in, you know, 1918. Mm-hmm. Imagine, I mean, that to me would be fascinating. What did people do?
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, you're right, we were set up. We've got the streaming services. We have our computers. The internet didn't go out. We have, you know, everything is... We are okay to be... set inside.
Yeah.
You know, perfect example. My niece is here, and you know, she was, you know, staying with me through spring break, and you know, unfortunately, as she was here, the school's canceled, so nobody can come back, and so now she's just kind of waiting to see when they're gonna call in. But you know, she has been on her phone, and you know, Skyping and TikToking and those, you know, all these things that, you know, Snapchat and everything that they're doing. To be honest, I'm looking at it, I'm like, nothing has really changed.
Mm.
She's doing what she was doing when everything was fine. It's just, now she's upset because she doesn't have the option to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And she's just, well, I want to go somewhere. Well, what's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, it's very much the passive side of all the features that we were shown in, like, the Blade Runners and the Aliens, where it's like people are calling each other on video phone, people are living in smaller dwellings. I had to stop in amazement one moment the other night when we wound up watching these two guys who build tiny homes for people. We watched four fucking episodes of this shit. I'm like, I kind of want one. like all of a sudden, like, my mind was like, can I live in a cube like this, or like a trailer-sized house, and still have all these conveniences, and still kind of feel like, well, do we need all the shit that we have? And it starts to like really unravel your like mindset about how we've been living all this time, and how we're only looking at it because it's being sort of challenged by this situation. Yeah. And maybe like I always saw these movies as sort of these templates, almost like going back to the origins of like Greek theater. It's supposed to entertain and educate. So okay, we're taking these sort of at the time fantastical ideas and putting them out there just to kind of explore a little bit.
Listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollownine.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollownine.com or at hollownine podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.
The New Jersey HorrorCon reputation is exploding the atmosphere you guys had created. New Jersey Horror Con was my entree into an actual horror convention.
Love it.
And you guys are doing a great job.
That is amazing. I'm super proud and super inspired to hear that. I mean, that's a testament to the community of cons and, you know, of horror and stuff in general.
My God.
Oh,
it's wow. Carmen Electra.
Hey, hey,
wow,
hey,
we are all nice giving high fives to an absolute icon.
This is incredible.
Trailblazer, amazing. You are amazing. Carmen Electra,
absolutely. Be well. Safe. Thank you so much.
Love.
Have a good one. Be well.
So
you can't see it on radio, but
oh,
she's
my
still
God.
Got it.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
My wife
still
right
got it.
My wife gets the picture of Carmen Electra.
The wife does it. Yeah. There you go, wife. Good job, wife. So that's cool. A keeper. That wife's a keeper.
Are you having a blast?
I am having a blast. Are you having a blast?
I am.
This place is awesome, right?
What's your most favorite part of the whole day so far?
When the guy dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss stopped in front of our booth and we put Strutter on and he did a lip sync to the whole thing.
Guys, if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and do that.
Yesterday I bumped into Michael Winslow. I got to have this whole experience where Leslie Easterbrook was lost and looking for her autograph table and I got to take her all around.
It's spooky, actually. I'm going to turn the chair around a little bit
sure.
So I can see you.
Oh, all right.
Keep an eye on you. I saw you and I thought, this guy knows everything.
Oh.
Terrific
oh, really?
And
oh.
sound in here with
cool.
you.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you. Yeah, it's
really
amazing
clear.
How it... Damon Della Greca of Slasher, this awesome app.
I wanted to do something that would really make it for these people who just love to create, who love horror.
Thank you for what you're doing, dude. It's
Thank
great
you.
That you put this together.
Absolutely, man. It's always good to see you.
We're trying to have as much fun, and we want people to have fun with us, and that's why we got guys like you stop by the table, hang out. We get to do the radio thing for a little bit.
He's from Jersey, you know. I'm from the South, so.
And I'm from the Bronx, so.
So we're all still friends. That's good.
So we're all good, yeah. Daniel Frankenstein. I'm representing psychothematicmedia.com. Call ourselves a creative collective.
My name is Gail Bykowitz.
Yeah, I'm Hector Della Rosa. We're partners in crime here. We're doing special effects makeup, and we're also independent filmmakers.
When I ran into them earlier, they were definitely vampire cowboys.
I love Better Off Dead. I love Bill and Ted's. And I'm just so glad that you guys remember those films.
Oh my god, those movies. I would go to school and just try and talk like Bill and Ted all day.
No
like,
triumphant.
I want
to go
my
back
$2,
home.
Man.
Right?
I've walked around wanting those $2 for how many years now?
This is fantastic. But of course, I'm
never.
We
need some language lessons.
David Clone from the Hall 9 Network, and by now you know what it's time for you to do. Let's go on over to NewJerseyHorrorCon.com, get yourself some tickets, and check out this awesome event where we are lifetime sponsors. We will be there from now until infinitum with all these incredible guests that are going to be at the next one, bringing you all the awesome from the show floor right to your digital door, right here at Hall9.com at the New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival.
Did you get it? I hope you got it.
I got it.
That's good. See you soon.